A Penitent Heart, The Best New Year's Gift by George Whitefield, 1714 to 1770. George Whitefield was a dynamic and dramatic itinerant preacher who helped spark the Great Awakening in the American colonies and Britain in 1740. Though his fiery style of open-air preaching drew the ire of some, even a casual reader cannot help but be moved by Whitefield's pleas for the unregenerate to come to new birth through Christ. Indeed, repentance is the foundation of grace in the soul, Hebrews 6, verse 1, being the first sermon that Christ ever preached, Matthew 4, verse 17, its footsteps go down the path of life that leads to fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore in the presence of God the Father. Psalm 16, verse 11. Except ye, that is you all, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, verse 3. When we consider how heinous and aggravating our offenses are in the sight of a just and holy God, that they bring down his wrath upon our heads and occasion us to live under his indignation, how ought we thereby to be deterred from evil, or at least engaged to study, to repent thereof, and not commit the same again? But man is so thoughtless of an eternal state, and has so little consideration of the welfare of his immortal soul, that he can sin without any thought that he must give an account of his actions at the day of judgment. Or if he at times has any reflections on his behavior, they do not drive him to true repentance. He may, for a short time, refrain from falling into some gross sins which he had lately committed, but then, when the temptation comes again with power, he is carried away with the lust. And thus he goes on, promising and resolving, and in breaking both his resolutions and his promises almost as fast as he has made them. This is highly offensive to God. It is mocking of him. My brethren, when grace is given us to repent truly, we shall turn wholly, that's wholly, meaning completely, wholly unto God. And let me beseech you to repent of your sins, for the time is hastening when you will have neither time nor call to repent. There is none in the grave whither we are going. But do not be afraid, for God often receives the greatest sinner to mercy through the merits of Jesus Christ. This magnifies the riches of his free grace, and should be an encouragement for you, who are great and notorious sinners, to repent, for he shall have mercy upon you, if you, through Christ, return unto him. St. Paul was an eminent instance of this. He speaks of himself as the chief of sinners, and he declares how God showed mercy to him. Christ loves to show mercy unto sinners, and if you repent, he will have mercy upon you. But as no word is more mistaken than that of repentance, I shall, Roman numeral 1, show you what the nature of repentance is. Roman numeral number 2, consider the several parts and causes of repentance. Roman numeral 3, I shall give you some reasons why repentance is necessary to salvation. And Roman numeral 4, exhort all of you, high and low, rich and poor, one with another, to endeavor after repentance. Roman numeral 1. Repentance, my brethren, in the first place, as to its nature, is the carnal and corrupt disposition of men being changed into a renewed and sanctified disposition. A man that is truly repented is truly regenerated. It is a different word for one and the same thing. The motley mixture of the beast and devil is gone. There is, as it were, a new creation wrought in your hearts. If your repentance is true, you are renewed throughout, both in soul and body. Your understandings are enlightened with the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your wills, which were stubborn, obstinate, and hated all good, are now obedient and conformable to the will of God. Indeed, our deists tell us that man now has a free will to do good, to love God, and to repent when he will. But indeed, there is no free will in any of you but to sin. Nay, your free will leads you so far that you would, if possible, pull God from off the throne. This may perhaps offend the Pharisees, but it is the truth in Christ which I speak, I lie not. Every man, by his own natural will, hates God. But when he is turned to the Lord by evangelical repentance, then his will is changed. Then your consciences, no longer hardened and benumbed, shall be quickened and awakened. Then your hard hearts shall be melted, and your unruly affections shall be crucified. Thus, by that repentance, the whole soul will be changed. You will have new inclinations, new desires, and new habits. You may see how vile we are by nature, that it requires so great a change to be made upon us to recover us from this state of sin. And therefore, the consideration of our dreadful state should make us earnest with God to change our condition. And that change, true repentance implies. Therefore, my brethren, consider how hateful your ways are to God while you continue in sin, how abominable you are to him while you run to evil. You cannot be said to be Christians while you are hating Christ and his people. True repentance will entirely change you. The bias of your souls will be changed. Then you will delight in God, in Christ, in his law, and in his people. You will then believe that there is such a thing as inward feeling, though now you may esteem it madness and enthusiasm. You will not then be ashamed of becoming fools for Christ's sake, and you will not regard being scoffed at. Then they're pointing after you and crying, "Here comes another troop of his followers," will not dismay you. No, your soul will abhor such proceedings, because the ways of Christ and his people will be your whole delight. It is the nature of such repentance to make a change, and the greatest change as can be made here is in the soul. Thus you see what repentance implies in its own nature. It denotes an abhorrence of all evil and a forsaking of it. Roman numeral number 2. I shall now proceed to show you the parts of it, and the causes concurring thereto. Letter A. The parts are sorrow, hatred, and an entire forsaking of sin. Our sorrow and grief for sin must not spring merely from a fear of wrath. For if we have no other ground than that, it proceeds from self-love, and not from any love to God. And if love to God is not the chief motive of your repentance, your repentance is in vain and not to be esteemed as true. Many in our days think that they're crying, "God, forgive me," or "Lord, have mercy upon me," or "I am sorry for it," is repentance, and that God will esteem it as such. But indeed they are mistaken. It is not that drawing near to God with our lips, while our hearts are far from him, which he regards. Repentance does not come by fits and starts. No, it is one continued act of our lives. For as we daily commit sin, so we need a daily repentance before God to obtain forgiveness for those sins that we commit. It is not confessing yourselves to be sinners. It is not knowing your condition to be sad and deplorable, so long as you continue in your sins. Your care and endeavor should be to get the heart thoroughly affected therewith, that you may feel yourselves to be lost and undone creatures. For Christ came to save such as are lost. And if you are enabled to groan under the weight and burden of your sins, then Christ will ease you and give you rest. And until you are thus sensible of your misery and lost condition, you are a servant to sin and to your lusts, and under the bondage and command of Satan, doing his drudgery. You are under the curse of God and liable to his judgment. Consider how dreadful your state will be at death, and after the day of judgment, when you will be exposed to such miseries which the ear has not heard, nor the heart can conceive, and that to all eternity, if you die impenitent. But I hope better things of you, my brethren, and things which accompany salvation. Go to God in prayer, and be earnest with him, that by his Spirit he would convince you of your miserable condition by nature, and make you truly sensible thereof. Oh, be humbled. Be humbled. I beseech you for your sins. Having spent so many years in sinning, what can you do less than be concerned to spend some hours in mourning and sorrowing for the same, and be humbled before God? Look back into your lives. Call to mind your sins, as many as you possibly can, the sins of your youth, as well as of your riper years. See how you have departed from a gracious Father and wandered in the ways of wickedness, in which you have lost yourselves, the favor of God, the comforts of his Spirit, in the peace of your own consciences. Then go and beg pardon of the Lord through the blood of the Lamb for the evil you have committed and for the good you have omitted. Consider likewise the heinousness of your sins. See what very aggravating circumstances your sins are attended with, how you have abused the patience of God, which should have led you to repentance. And when you find your heart hard, beg of God to soften it. Cry mightily unto him, and he will take away your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. Resolve to leave all your sinful lusts and pleasures. Renounce, forsake, and abhor your old sinful course of life, and serve God in holiness and righteousness all the remaining part of your lives. If you lament and bewail past sins, yet do not forsake them, your repentance is in vain. You are mocking God and deceiving your own soul. You must put off the old man with his deeds before you can put on the new man, Christ Jesus. Therefore, you who have been swearers and cursers, you who have been harlots and drunkards, you who have been thieves and robbers, you who have hitherto followed the sinful pleasures and diversions of life. Let me beseech you, by the mercies of God in Christ Jesus, that you would no longer continue therein, but that you would forsake your evil ways and turn unto the Lord. For he waits to be gracious unto you. He is ready, he is willing to pardon you of all your sins. But do not expect Christ to pardon you of sin when you run into it, and will not abstain from complying with the temptations. But if you will be persuaded to abstain from evil and choose the good, to return unto the Lord and repent of your wickedness, he has promised he will abundantly pardon you. He will heal your backslidings and will love you freely. Resolve now this day to have done with your sins forever. Let your old ways and you be separated. You must resolve against it, for there can be no true repentance without a resolution to forsake it. Resolve for Christ. Resolve against the devil and his works, and go on fighting the Lord's battles against the devil and his emissaries. Attack him in the strongest holds he has. Fight him as men, as Christians, and you will soon find him to be a coward. Resist him, and he will fly from you. Through grace, resolve to do this, and your repentance is half done. But then, take care that you do not ground your resolutions in your own strength, but rather in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Without his assistance, you can do nothing. But with his grace strengthening you, you will be enabled to do all things, and the more ready Christ will be to help you. And what can all the men of the world do to you when Christ is for you? You will not regard what they say against you, for you will have the testimony of a good and clear conscience. Resolve to cast yourself at the feet of Christ in subjection to him, and throw yourself into the arms of Christ for salvation by him. Consider, my dear brethren, the many invitations he has given you to come unto him and be saved by him. God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Oh, let me prevail with you above all things to make choice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Resign yourselves unto him. Take him, oh, take him upon his own terms. And whosoever you are, no matter how great a sinner you have been, this evening, in the name of the great God, do I offer Jesus Christ unto you. As you value your life and soul, refuse him not, but stir up yourself to accept of the Lord Jesus. Take him wholly as he is, for he will be applied wholly unto you, or else not at all. Jesus Christ must be your whole wisdom. Jesus Christ must be your whole righteousness. Jesus Christ must be your whole sanctification, or he will never be your eternal redemption. Though you have been ever so wicked and profligate, yet if you will abandon your sins and turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall have him given to you, and all your sins shall be freely forgiven. Oh, why will you neglect the great work of your repentance? Do not defer the doing of it one day longer, but today, even now. Take that Christ who is freely offered to you. Letter B. Now as to the causes thereof. Well, the first cause is God. He is the author. We are born of God. He who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has begotten us. It is He that stirs us up to will and to do of His own good pleasure. Another cause is God's free grace. My brethren, it is owing to the riches of His free grace, Ephesians 1 verse 7, that we have been prevented from going down to hell long ago. It is because the compassions of the Lord fail not. They are new every morning and fresh every evening. Sometimes the instruments are very unlikely. A poor, despised minister or member of Jesus Christ may, by the power of God, be made an instrument in the hands of God, which brings you to true evangelical repentance. And this may be done to show that the power is not in men, but that it is entirely owing to the good pleasure of God. And if there has been any good done among the many of you by the preaching of the word, as I trust there has, though it were preached in a field, if God has met and owned us and His blessed word, though preached by an enthusiastic babbler, a boy, a madman, yet I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, let foes say what they will. Roman numeral number 3. I shall now show the reasons why repentance is necessary to salvation. And this, my brethren, is plainly revealed to us in the Word of God. The soul that does not repent and turn unto the Lord shall die in his sins, and their blood shall be required at their own heads. It is necessary, as we have sinned, that we should repent, for a holy God could not, nor ever can or will, admit anything that is unholy into His presence. This is the beginning of grace in the soul. There must be a change in heart and life before there can be a dwelling with a holy God. You cannot love sin and God too. You cannot love God and mammon. No unclean person can stand in the presence of God, for it is contrary to the holiness of His nature. There is a contrariety between the holy nature of God and the unholy nature of carnal and unregenerate men. What communication can there be between a sinless God and creatures full of sin, between a pure God and impure creatures? If you were to be admitted into heaven with your present tempers, in your impenitent condition, heaven itself would be a hell to you. The songs of angels would be as enthusiasm and would be intolerable to you. Therefore, you must have these tempers changed. You must be holy, as God is holy. He must be your God here, and you must be His people, or you will never dwell together to all eternity. If you hate the ways of God and cannot spend an hour in His service, how can you think it would to be easy to sing praises forever and in eternity to Him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb? And this is to be the employment, my brethren, of all those who are admitted into this glorious place, where neither sin nor sinner is admitted, where no scoffer can ever come without repentance from his evil ways, a turning unto God and a cleaving unto Him. This must be done before any can be admitted into the glorious mansions of God, which are prepared for all that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth. Therefore, repent of all your sins. Oh, my dear brethren, it makes my blood run cold to think that any of you should not be admitted into the glorious mansions above. Oh, that it was in my power, I would place all of you, yea, you, my scoffing brethren, and the greatest enemy I have on earth, at the right hand of Jesus. But this I cannot do. However, I will advise and exhort you with all love and tenderness to make Jesus your refuge. Fly to him for relief. Jesus died to save such as you. He is full of compassion, and if you go to him as poor, lost, undone sinners, Jesus will give you his Spirit. You shall live and reign, and reign and live. You shall love and live, and live and love with this Jesus to all eternity. Roman numeral 4. Fourthly, I am to exhort all of you, high and low, rich and poor, one with another, to repent of all your sins and turn unto the Lord. And I shall speak to each of you, for you have either repented or you have not. You are believers in Christ Jesus, or you are unbelievers. And first, you who have never truly repented of your sins and never have truly forsaken your lusts, do not be offended if I speak plainly to you. For it is love, love to your souls, that constrains me to speak. I shall lay before you your danger and the misery to which you are exposed while you remain impenitent in sin. And oh, that this may be a means of making you fly to Christ for pardon and forgiveness. While your sins are not repented of, you are in danger of death. And if you should die, you would perish forever. There is no hope for any who live and die in their sins, but that they will dwell with devils and damned spirits for all eternity. And how do we know we shall live much longer? We are not sure of seeing our own habitations this night in safety. What mean you then, being at ease and pleasure while your sins are not pardoned? As sure as ever the word of God is true, if you die in that condition, you are shut out of all hope and mercy forever, and shall pass into ceaseless and endless misery. What are all your pleasures and diversions worth? They last but for a moment. They are of no worth, and but of short continuance. And surely it must be gross folly to eagerly pursue those sinful lusts and pleasures which war against the soul, which tend to harden the heart and keep us from closing with the Lord Jesus. Indeed, these are destructive to our peace here, and without repentance will be of our peace hereafter. Oh, the folly and madness of this sensual world! Surely, if there were nothing in sin but present slavery, it would keep an ingenuous spirit from it. But to do the devil's drudgery? And if we do that, we shall have his wages, which is eternal death and condemnation. Oh, consider this, my guilty brethren, you that think it no crime to swear, whore, drink, or scoff and jeer at the people of God. Consider how your voices will then be changed, and you that counted their lives madness and therein without honor. You shall howl and lament at your own madness and folly, and this will bring you to much woe and distress. Then you will lament and bemoan your own dreadful condition. But it will be of no signification. For he that is not your merciful Savior will then become your inexorable judge. Now he is easy to be entreated. But then all your tears and prayers will be in vain. For God has allotted to every man a day of grace and a time of repentance, which, if he does not improve, but neglects and despises the means which are offered to him, he cannot, meaning doesn't have the ability, he cannot be saved. Therefore, my brethren, while you are going on in a course of sin and unrighteousness, I beseech you to think of the consequence that will attend the misspending of your precious time. Your souls are worth being concerned about. For if you can enjoy all the pleasures and diversions of life, at death you must leave them. For death will put an end to all your worldly concerns. And will it not be very deplorable to have your good things here, your best life now, all your earthly, sensual, devilish pleasures, which you have been so much taken up with, all over? And will not the thought of how trifling a concern you have lost eternal welfare gnaw upon your very soul? Your wealth and grandeur will stand in no stead. You can carry nothing of it into the other world. Then the consideration of your uncharitableness to the poor and the ways you took to obtain your wealth will be a very hell unto you. For now, you enjoy the means of grace, the preaching of his word, prayer, and sacraments. And God has sent his ministers out into the fields and highways to invite and woo you to come in. But they are tiresome to you. You would rather be at your pleasures. But before long, my brethren, those pleasures will be over, and you will be no more troubled with them. And then you would give 10,000 worlds for one moment of that merciful time of grace which you have abused. Then you will cry for a drop of that precious blood which now you trample under your feet. Then you will wish for one more offer of mercy, for Christ and his free grace to be offered to you again. But your crying will be in vain, for as you would not repent here, God will not give you an opportunity to repent hereafter. If you would not in Christ's time, you shall not in your own. What a dreadful condition you will be in then! What horror and astonishment will possess your souls! All your lies and oaths, your scoffs and jeers at the people of God, all your filthy and unclean thoughts and actions, your misspent time in balls, plays, and assemblies, your spending whole evenings at cards, dice, and masquerades, your frequenting of taverns and alehouses, your worldliness, covetousness, and your uncharitableness will be brought at once to your remembrance, and at once charged upon your guilty soul. And how can you bear the thought of these things? Indeed, I am full of compassion towards you, to think that this should be the portion of any who now hear me. These are truths, though awful ones. My brethren, these are the truths of the gospel, and if there was not a necessity for thus speaking, I would willingly forbear, for it is no pleasing subject to me any more than it is to you. But it is my duty to show you the dreadful consequences of continuing in sin. I am only now acting the part of a skillful surgeon that explores a wound before he heals it. I would show you your danger first, that deliverance may be the more readily accepted by you. Consider that, however, you may be for putting the evil day away from you, and are now striving to hide your sins. Well, at the day of judgment, there shall be a full discovery of all. Hidden things on that day shall be brought to light. And after all your sins have been revealed to the whole world, then you must depart into everlasting fire in hell, which will not be quenched night and day. It will be without intermission, without end. Oh, then, what stupidity and senselessness has possessed your hearts, that you are not frightened from your sins? The fear of Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace made men do anything to avoid it. And shall not an everlasting fire make men, make you, do anything to avoid it? Oh, that this would awaken and cause you to humble yourselves for your sins, and to beg pardon for them, that you might find mercy in the Lord. Do not go away. Let not the devil hurry you away before the sermon is over, but stay, and you shall have a Jesus offered to you who has made full satisfaction for all your sins. Let me beseech you to cast away your transgressions, to strive against sin, to watch against it, and to beg power and strength from Christ for keeping down the power of those lusts that hurry you on in your sinful ways. But if you will not do any of these things, if you are resolved to sin on, you must expect eternal death to be the consequence. You must expect to be seized with horror and trembling, with horror and amazement, to hear the dreadful sentence of condemnation pronounced against you. And then you will run and call upon the mountains to fall upon you, to hide you from the Lord and from the fierce anger of his wrath. Had you now a heart to turn from your sins unto the living God by true and unfeigned repentance, and to pray unto him for mercy in and through the merits of Jesus Christ, there would be hope. But at the day of judgment, your prayers and tears will be of no signification. They will be of no service to you, for the judge will not be entreated by you, since you would not hearken to him when he called unto you, but despised both him and his ministers, and would not leave your iniquities. Therefore, on that day, he will not be entreated, notwithstanding all your cries and tears. For God himself has said, "Because I have called, and you refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would have one of my reproof." And would have none of my reproof, is what it should say. "I will also laugh at your calamity, and mock when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." Proverbs 1, verses 24 through 25. through 28. Now you may call this enthusiasm and madness, but on that great day, if you repent not of your sins here, you will find, by woeful experience, that your own ways were madness indeed. But God forbid that it should be left undone until then. Seek after the Lord while he is to be found. Call upon him while he is near, and you shall find mercy. Repent this very hour, and Christ will joyfully receive you. What say you? Must I go to my master and tell him you will not come unto him and will have none of his counsels? No, do not send me on so unhappy an errand. I cannot, I will not tell him any such thing. Shall I not rather tell him that you are willing to repent, to be converted, to become new men, and take up a new course of life? For this is the only wise resolution you can make. Let me tell my master that you will come unto him and will wait upon him. For if you do not, it will be your ruin in time and to eternity. You will at death wish you had lived the life of the righteous, that you might have died his death. Therefore, be advised. Consider what is before you. Christ and the world, holiness and sin, life and death. Choose now for yourselves, and let your choice be made immediately, and let that choice be your dying choice. If you would not choose to die in your sins, to die drunkards, to die adulterers, to die swearers and scoffers, then do not live out this night in the dreadful condition you are in. It may be that some of you may say, you have not power, you have no strength. But what have you yourselves not been lacking in such things that were within your power? Have you not as much power to go hear a sermon as to go into a playhouse or to a ball or a masquerade? You have as much power to read the Bible as to read plays, novels, and romances. And you can associate as easily with the godly as with the wicked and profane. My brethren, surely this is but an idle excuse to go on in your sins. And if you will be found in the means of grace, Christ has promised he will give you strength. While Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on all that heard the word. How then should you be found in the way of your duty? Jesus Christ will give you strength. He will put his spirit within you. You shall find that he will be your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification, and your redemption. Merely try what a gracious, kind, and loving master he is. He will be a help to you in all your burdens. And if the burden of sin is on your soul, go to him as weary and heavy laden. You shall find rest. Do not say that your sins are too many and too great to expect to find mercy. No, be they ever so many or ever so great, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sins. God's grace, my brethren, is free, rich, and, most importantly, sovereign. Manasseh was a great sinner, and yet he was pardoned. Zacchaeus was gone far from God and went out to see Christ with no other view but to satisfy his curiosity. And yet Jesus met him and brought salvation to his house. Manasseh was an idolater and murderer, yet he received mercy. The other was an oppressor and extortioner who had gotten riches by fraud and deceit, and by grinding the faces of the poor. So did Matthew too, and yet they found mercy. Have you been blasphemers and persecutors of the saints and servants of God? So was St. Paul. yet he received mercy. Have you been common harlots, filthy and unclean persons? Well, so was Mary Magdalene, and yet she received mercy. Have you been a thief? Well, the thief upon the cross found mercy. I despair of none of you, however vile and profligate you have been. I say, I despair of none of you, especially when God has had mercy on such a wretch as I am. Remember the poor publican, how he found favor with God when the proud, self-conceited Pharisee, who, puffed up with his own righteousness, was rejected. And if you will go to Jesus under a sense of your own unworthiness, as the poor publican did, you shall find favor as he did. There is virtue enough in the blood of Jesus to pardon greater sinners than he has yet pardoned. Therefore, do not be discouraged, but come unto Jesus, and you will find him ready to help in all your distresses, to lead you into all truth, to bring you from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. Do not let the devil deceive you by telling you that then all your delights and pleasures will be over. No. This is so far from depriving you of all pleasure that it is an inlet into unspeakable delights, peculiar to all who are truly regenerated. The new birth is the very beginning of a life of peace and comfort, for the greatest pleasantness is to be found in the ways of holiness. Solomon, who had experience of all other pleasures, yet says of the ways of godliness that all her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are paths of peace. Proverbs 3, verse 17. Be sure not to let the devil deceive you. It is all he wants. It is all that he aims at, to make religion appear to be melancholy, miserable, and enthusiastic. Let him say what he will, but give not an ear to him and regard him not, for he always was and will be a liar. What words, what entreaties shall I use to make you come unto the Lord Jesus Christ? The little love I have experienced since I have been brought from sin to God is so great that I would not be in a natural state for 10,000 worlds, and what I have felt is but little to what I hope to feel. But that little love which I have experienced is a sufficient buoy against all the storms and tempests of this boisterous world. Let men and devils do their worst. I rejoice in the Lord Jesus, yea, and I will rejoice. And, oh, if you repent and come to Jesus, I would rejoice on your accounts too. And we could rejoice together to all eternity once we have passed on the other side of the grave. Oh, come to Jesus. The arms of Jesus Christ will embrace you. He will wash away all your sins in his blood and will love you freely. Come, I beseech you, to come unto Jesus Christ. Oh, that my words would pierce to the very soul. Oh, that Jesus Christ was formed in you. Oh, that you would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might have mercy upon you. I would speak till midnight. Yea, I would speak till I could speak no more, if it might be a means to bring you to Jesus. Let the Lord Jesus but enter your souls, and you shall find peace which the world can neither give nor take away. There is mercy for the greatest sinner among you. Go to the Lord as sinners, helpless and undone, without it. And then you shall find comfort in your souls, and be admitted at last amongst those who sing praises unto the Lord to all eternity. Now, my brethren, let me speak a word of exhortation to those of you who are already brought to the Lord Jesus, who are born again, who do belong to God, to whom it has been given to repent of your sins, and are cleansed from their guilt. And that is, Be thankful to God for his mercies towards you. Oh, admire the grace of God and bless his name forever. Are you made alive in Christ Jesus? Is the life of God begun in your souls, and have you the evidence thereof? Be thankful for this unspeakable mercy to you. Never forget to speak of his mercy. And as your life was formerly devoted to sin and the pleasures of the world, let it now be spent wholly in the ways of God. And oh, embrace every opportunity of doing and of receiving good. Whatsoever opportunity you have, do it vigorously. Do it speedily. Do not defer it. If you see one hurrying on to destruction, use the utmost of your endeavor to stop him in his course. Show him the need he has of repentance, and that without it he is lost forever. Do not regard his despising of you. Still go on to show him his danger. And if your friends mock and despise, do not let that discourage you. Hold on and hold out to the end, so you shall have a crown which is immutable and fadeth not away. Let the love of Jesus to you also keep you humble. Do not be high-minded. Keep close to the Lord and observe the rules which the Lord Jesus Christ has given in his word. Do not let the instructions be lost which you are capable of giving. Oh, consider what reason you have to be thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ for giving you that repentance which you yourselves had need of, a repentance which works by love. Now you find more pleasure in walking with God 1 hour than in all your former carnal delights and all the pleasures of sin. Oh, the joy you feel in your own souls, which all the men of the world and all the devils in hell, though they were to combine together, they could not destroy it. Therefore, do not fear their wrath or malice, for though many tribulations are for through many tribulations, we must enter into glory. A few days, or weeks, or years more, and then you will be beyond their reach. You will be in the heavenly Jerusalem. There is all harmony and love. There is all joy and delight. There, the weary soul is at rest. Now we have many enemies, but at death they are all lost. They cannot follow us beyond the grave. And this is a great encouragement to us not to regard the scoffs and jeers of the men of this world. Oh, let the love of Jesus be in your thoughts continually. It was his dying that brought you life. It was his crucifixion that paid the satisfaction for your sins. His death, burial, and resurrection that completed the work. And he is now in heaven, interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. And can you do too much for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done so much for you? His love to you is unfathomable. Oh, the height, the depth, the length, and breadth of this love that brought the King of Glory from his throne to die for such rebels as we are, when we had acted so unkindly against him and deserved nothing but eternal damnation. He came down and took our nature upon him. He was made of flesh and dwelt among us. He was put to death on our account. He paid our ransom. Surely this should make us rejoice in him and not do as too many do, and as we ourselves have too often. Crucify this Jesus afresh. Let us do all we can, my dear brethren, to honor him. Come, all of you, come and behold him stretched out for you. See his hands and his feet nailed to the cross. Oh, come, come, my brethren, and nail your sins thereto. Come, come and see his side pierced. There is a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, wash, wash and be clean. Come and see his head crowned with thorns, and all for you. Can you think of a panting, bleeding, dying Jesus and not be filled with pity toward him? He underwent all this for you. Come unto him by faith and lay hold on him. There is mercy for every soul that will come unto him. Therefore, do not delay. Fly into the arms of this Jesus, and you shall be made clean in his blood. Oh, what shall I say unto you to make you come to Jesus? I have showed you the dreadful consequences of not repenting of your sins. And if after all I have said you are resolved to persist, your blood will be required at your own heads. But I hope better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. Let me beg of you to pray in good earnest for the grace of repentance. I may never see your faces again, but at the day of judgment, I will meet you. There you will either bless God that ever you were moved to repentance, or else this sermon will be a swift witness against you. Repent, repent therefore, my dear brethren, even as John the Baptist and our blessed Redeemer himself earnestly exhorted, and turn from your evil ways, and the Lord will have mercy on you. Show them, O Father, wherein they have offended you. Make them to see their own vileness, and that they are lost and undone without true repentance. And, oh, give them that repentance, we beseech of you, that they may turn from sin unto you, the living and true God. These things, and whatever else you see needful for us, we entreat that you would bestow them upon us on account of what the dear Jesus Christ has done and suffered, to whom, with thyself and thy Holy Spirit, three persons and one God, be ascribed as his most due, all power, glory, might, majesty, and dominion, now, henceforth, and forevermore. Amen.